There's a news story a few years ago, several years ago actually, from a small town in Texas where a business owner was bought a piece of property and was wanting to build a new tavern in this town. Well, the local church decided that they didn't think that was a good idea, and so they began a very public campaign through prayer, very publicly, and through a petition trying to stop this bar from being built. Well, in spite of everything that they did, the construction continued, and everything went exactly as scheduled until just a couple of days before the bar was to open, at which time lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. Well, the church, as you can maybe imagine, was feeling pretty smug about that whole situation until a couple days later, the business owner sued the church for the destruction of their property. He said that either indirectly or directly, they had caused the destruction of his building. Well, in their letters to the court, the church vigorously denied having any responsibility, you know, with the destruction of this man's property. So as it continued through the courts and as it came to the hearing, as the judge read over everything, he said, "I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to do here, but it appears what we've got here is a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that doesn't." The question is, do you believe in the power of prayer? It's a real thing to you. As we kind of wrap up our very short 2-week series called Prayer Cover today, I just want to start with a question. And that's a simple question. What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, say prayer is talking to God. Hello, Captain Obvious. That's an easy one. You know, prayer is talking to God. I want to think about that just for a minute. Talking to God. That means little old you, little insignificant me, talking to God, the almighty creator of the universe. That's incredible, all right? That's amazing that we have the opportunity to stand before God and talk to him. In fact, the Bible says that if we are believers in Jesus, that we can actually go boldly into his presence, and he will always give us grace to help us in our time of need. It's incredible. And then, just to kind of put things into perspective, you know, think about how excited people get. Maybe you've gotten. If you had an opportunity to meet a famous athlete, or a musician, or a movie star, even a politician, that people stand in line, they get so excited just to be able to speak just for a minute to one of those famous people. But we have the opportunity to speak to the creator of the universe. That's incredible. I mean, that should just be... It should just blow our mind every time we think about it. We can talk to God. Now, last week I said that, you know, that sometimes when we talk about prayer, it can make us feel guilty. That's not my intent at all. I don't want us to make us feel guilty. I just want to encourage us and motivate us and help us to realize the incredible opportunity that is put before us, that we can go before God. We can talk to God. That's crazy. That's awesome. That's amazing. Now, as I also said last week, I said, you know, I'm not an expert in this topic. In fact, there's hardly ever anything that I get up here and say that I don't struggle along with you, you know, to make that real in my daily life. But certainly, as it comes to this topic, especially with the idea of being prayer as it relates to a husband and a father praying for his wife and his kids, this is certainly not one of those areas where I've got it all figured out. In fact, as I think about this topic, I kind of feel like the one-legged man in the butt-kicking contest. You know, just feel a little unqualified, if you know what I'm talking about. But since that's the case, let's just kind of start at the basics, all right? For guys, this is kind of for the guys today, but ladies, stay with us, because at the end, there's a time that you can kind of help us with something. So here we go. We'll just kind of jump into the very basics. According to the Bible, the wisest guy, the smartest man that ever lived was a man named Solomon, and he wrote this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." And all of the women said, "Amen, that's right. You preach it, brother. That's exactly right." But guys, we know that, right? I mean, we know that we've married up, right? Just by virtue of marrying a woman, you know, we've married up. You know, we understand that. This Solomon, he also wrote this in Psalm 127. He said, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So, according to the smartest guy that ever lived, guys, our wives and our kids are a blessing from God. Isn't that great? Here's the deal. I'm going to assume that you're kind of like me. Dangerous assumption, but I'm going to assume we're kind of the same. That is, I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I pray for them. Sometimes. You know, I mean, like, when they're sick, you know, or hurt, or if there's something going on really important in their life, yeah, I pray for them then. But sometimes it's not as consistent as what I would maybe think about it, you know, needing to be. Now, of course, since I knew I was going to be talking about this a couple weeks ago, you know, I dusted this book off my bookshelf, you know, This Power of a Praying Husband, and I began once again to start praying a little more purposely and a little more specifically for Rhonda and for Kendall and for Chase. But, you know, if I'm honest, if I look back over the last several months or even the last few years, it's like, well, maybe not so much. So, again, I'm not trying to come at you this morning as an expert, but just as a guy like you, you know, trying to take every day and take my next step toward Jesus, realizing that in many ways I'm a failure as a husband and a father, but as a husband and a father that wants to do better, you know, that really wants to be a praying husband, that really wants to be a praying dad. So guys, if you can identify with that at all, if you're kind of in that camp, realizing that you're not, haven't done it exactly right, but you'd really like to do better, then this morning is for you. And since, again, we're trying to eliminate guilt in our conversation this morning, we're going to kind of eliminate that past. We're going to acknowledge that, okay, it hasn't been maybe the best, but we're going to kind of start at the present, which is the only place we can start, and look toward a desired future of what might be different, what could be different, how we can take advantage of this incredible opportunity that we've been given as husbands and fathers to go in front of Almighty God on behalf of our wives and our kids, and it would offer great benefits for them and for our family. So that's where, kind of where we're going to start and where we're going to go. In his book, Tender Warrior, Stu Weber, and I'd highly recommend this book to you guys as well, he talks about the four pillars of masculinity. And the four pillars that he lines out, the first one is the king. The king is the authority, the leader, the provider. Okay, that's one pillar of biblical manhood. The second one he talks about is the warrior. That's the protector, the defender. All right, we'll talk more about that in a minute. The third one is the mentor. That's the teacher. You know, dads are just kind of supposed to know stuff, right? We're supposed to be able to teach our kids certain stuff, and that's the mentor role. The fourth pillar that he talks about is the pillar of friend. That's the relational piece. That's the lover piece to our wife, the friend piece to other men and people. But the pillar that I want us to talk about this morning is that second one, that warrior pillar. See, the warrior is the protector, right? The warrior is the one that steps on bugs. All right? The warrior is the one that kills the spider. All right? The warrior is the one that goes into the dark basement with the flashlight and acts like he's not afraid. All right? You know, this is the warrior. All right? The warrior is the one who's the defender. He stands between the danger and the person that he's supposed to guard, not letting anything come to let the person come to harm. Right? He's going to protect because that's what he is. He's the protector. He's the warrior. Right? That's the one I want us to talk about this morning. See, the Bible speaks of terms just like that, that we are in a battle. If you remember from last week, we learned that we're in a spiritual battle with an enemy that wants to steal and kill and destroy us and our families. We learned from Ephesians chapter 6, and if you want to turn, you can look in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking there just in a minute. But we looked in Ephesians chapter 6 and John chapter 10 and saw that there is an enemy out there that wants to destroy everything that God would have or that we would want for our marriages and for our families and for our kids. And the Bible talks about it, man, in terms of a battle, and that we are the warriors that stand between this enemy and the people that we are protecting. The Bible speaks of battling mighty enemies, shattering satanic strongholds, of storming the castle, of visions like that. It's a picture of a soldier fighting with a sword and a shield to protect those people that are in his under his protection. And guys, we have, an unbelievable opportunity to do just that, to impact the lives of our families, to protect them from the enemy's attacks, to take their requests and their needs in front of the creator of the universe. And as I said, with a few exceptions that we're going to talk about at the end, God has promised to hear our prayers on their behalf, and He's promised to give us grace to help us in our time of need. It's an incredible opportunity that we have. Because of the way God has set things up, man, we have incredible power when we pray for our families. This is one of the, for us to understand that opportunity that we have, we kind of have to understand the systems of authority that God has set up in the Bible. Really, there's at least four, there may be others, but there's at least four kind of systems or structures of authority that God has set up in the Scripture. Just real briefly, the family was the first one that He set up. We're going to be talking about that more. The church is also a system of authority that God has set up, where Christ is the head and then the elders and then the rest of us. He set up systems of government. Those are God-ordained, and there are systems of authority within that. Systems of business God set up. And so there's at least four of those that God put into the world for our benefit, to create order, but also for our protection. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul writes about a couple of these and how they overlap and how they're similar. He says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He, Jesus, is the Savior." See, God has set these structures, these authority structures in place for our benefit to help us. Just as Christ is the head of the church, He has established the family with the father and then the mother and then the children under that. And that's His divine sense of God-ordained authority. And here's the key thought that I want to place to you if you're keeping notes today. When men pray, guys, when we pray, it provides an umbrella of protection for our wives and our kids. Right? When we pray, it provides an umbrella of protection for our wives of kids. When we pray, it's like our prayers are a spiritual covering for our wives and those people who are under our authority. The picture is one of Satan's attacks and the enemy's attacks coming at us and at our family. But as we pray, we're providing this umbrella of protection for those who are in our charge, in this case, our wives and our kids. And so, families, wives, kids, when you come underneath the God-ordained authority of your father, of your husband, you are actually coming under the protection of God, because that's the way He designed the family to operate. And so, guys, as we pray, we are offering this umbrella of protection over our families. That's the picture that the Bible paints. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 and 5 says this, "The weapons, guys, that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." See, when we pray, we fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. The Bible says that when we pray, we have the authority, that God has granted us the authority to overtake and to overcome these spiritual strongholds that Satan might have in our lives and the lives of our families. We're able to demolish arguments, demolish the lies that the enemy would tell to our family. And so when we pray, we can pray that the enemy would not be able to have a foothold in our life or in the life of our kids or in the life of our marriage or in the life of our wife. We can pray that our wife wouldn't believe the lies that Satan might whisper to her, that she doesn't measure up as a wife or a mother. We can pray for our daughters and our wives, that they wouldn't fall prey to the lies that society might say about what it means to be beautiful or what it means to be a woman, that they might be able to find their identity, their true identity, as who they really are, and that is a beloved daughter of the King. We can pray for our sons, that they would understand what it means to be a man from God's perspective. We can pray for our kids, that they wouldn't be deceived by the so many destructive philosophies that are just out there in the culture today. And on and on and on it goes. We have been given the authority to pray these things on behalf of our kids. And the Bible says that when we pray, no weapon that the enemy forms against us can stand. And so we can pray specifically about issues that our kids and our wives have, and we have success, and God has promised that we have power over the enemy in those areas. Of course, the power in our prayers is not ours, it's God's, right? And so when we pray for someone, as we talked about last week, we are just inviting God's power into their life. And when we pray for our wives, when we pray for our kids, it somehow enables them to hear God's voice a little bit better. It enables them to be more sensitive and more aware of the Holy Spirit's promptings as He tries to help them grow into the person that He has designed them to be. And guys, that's actually one of our biggest jobs as husbands and wives. That's to help our wives and our kids be everything that God created them to be. Take a look again at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 says this: "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself." And then just a few sentences later, he says this to fathers. He says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." See, guys, one of our main jobs is to help our wives and to help our kids become everything that God has designed for them to be. And one of the primary ways, one of the best ways that we can do that is by praying for them. And so we've got to learn how to do that. Now, one of the ways, dads, you can learn how to pray for your kids is you can ask their mama, right? Because mamas seem to be in tune with what's going on in the kids' lives. They seem to have a better feel a lot of time with what's going on. So you can ask your wife or their mother about how to pray for their kids. Because we've also got to learn how to pray for that incredibly wonderful creature that God gave to us called our wife. We need to learn how to pray for them. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, that we have to live with our wives in an understanding way. So we have to learn about them so that we know how to pray for them. Again, that's another reason why I highly recommend this book, guys, The Power of Praying Husband, because it's written by a woman, from a woman's perspective, to help us understand. You see, it's like this. A while back, I asked Rhonda, I said, "How can I pray for you today?" You know what she said? I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong. She said, "Pray for me, pray that I could love her like she needed to be loved that day." And all the ladies go, "Oh, that's nice." And all the men go, "What does that even mean?" All right? We have no clue, you know, what that means. It's like, okay, all right? And that's, again, why I really like this book, because it just goes through from a woman's perspective. Okay, here maybe are some things that she might need to be prayed for today. So it teaches me how to pray for her in all kinds of different ways, for her motherhood, for her purpose, for her priorities, for her just every part of her life, for her sexuality, for everything. It allows me to pray for her so that in all of those areas, she can come under my God-ordained authority and establish and experience the protection of God in her life in those areas so that she can become everything that God has created her to be in those areas. See, that stuff I couldn't have come up with. I'm not smart enough for that. So that's why I recommend that book. Of course, another great way to find out, you know, how to pray for our wives, other than reading a book, is to, you know, ask them, you know, if we could ask our wives. Of course, sometimes that conversation can be awkward. I understand, right? I've been married for a long time. Guys, have you ever, you know, had conversation with your wife where at the end of it, you were a little frustrated and you said something like this? You said, "What do you want me to do? Or what do you want me to say?" Guys, ever said anything like that? "What do you want me to say?" Yeah, you don't have to nod your head. I know. All right. She's sitting next to you. I got it. All right. But then she would answer this way. She would say, "Well, if I have to tell you what you're supposed to say, then it doesn't count. You have to come up with it on your own." Don't you hate? You know, that's what happens, that conversation. All right. So, ladies, this is where you can help us out, okay? You're absolutely right. We should know, all right? But we don't, okay? We're dumb. Okay, we just don't understand things that we ought to understand. And so, can you do us a favor here? When your husband comes and asks you how that he can pray for you, you know, don't say, "Well, if you don't know after being married with me for 15 years, then I'm not going to tell you." All right? Maybe true, maybe right, but it's not helpful. Okay, it doesn't help us move the ball down the field. And that's what we need, is help. Okay, so when we come, remember, we're kind of forgetting the past and we're admitting that we haven't done it exactly right. We're starting in the present, admitting that we're not going to get it perfect in the future either, but we're going to make an effort. We're going to provide the spiritual protection that God has required us to do, and so we need your help with that. And so, when he asks you, just tell him, no eye rolls, no, "Well, it's about times." All right, no, "Well, I wonder how long this is going to last," okay? None of that. Just help us, all right? Because that's what we need. Deal, ladies? Can you do that for us? All right, guys, they're going to do that for us so we can ask with confidence, all right, because they can help us in that way. Well, guys, today I begin by saying that we have this incredible opportunity, right? We have this incredible opportunity to come before Almighty God, to bring our requests before Him, and that with certain few exceptions, He has promised to hear us and to help us and to give us grace in our time of need. But it's those couple of exceptions that I want us to talk about before we close our time together this morning. Now, the reality is, for most of us, the reason that we don't offer this protection, this umbrella of protection over our families the way we ought to, is because our umbrella, our prayer umbrella, kind of stays like this. We never open it. We don't pray, all right? We just don't pray, and so therefore, we can't be providing the protection that our wives and our families need. So that might be one reason why our prayers are hindered, because we don't pray them in the first place, okay? So if that's the case, I just encourage you and encourage all of us to pray. But some of us, we do pray, but yet we feel like things aren't going exactly right, or it doesn't seem like God is hearing. Well, the Bible gives a couple of hints as to why that might be. There might be other reasons, but these are two clear biblical hints as to why that might be the case. The first one is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And we've looked at this verse before, but it says this: "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect," or give them honor, "as the weaker partner." Ladies, don't flip out. As we talked about before, that meant a delicate vessel or a piece of fine china. Okay, that's kind of the language that Paul was using, that men, the husbands, are supposed to treat our wives as this delicate vessel, this piece of fine china that he's been entrusted to us, so we're to treat them with honor and respect. And so the verse kind of goes like this: "In the same way, husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, giving honor to them as a delicate vessel or a piece of fine china, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life." Why? "So that nothing will hinder your prayers." So that nothing will hinder your prayers. Guys, from God's perspective, when we don't treat our wives right, when we don't give them the honor and the respect that He created it to be, when we don't look at them and treat them as the delicate vessel that the way God sees them, the Bible says that our prayers can be hindered. And not just our prayers for our wife, but all of our prayers. And so if you feel like you're praying and you're not getting anywhere, the first place to look is, am I treating my wife with respect? Am I giving her the honor that is due? Am I treating her as that delicate vessel that God has placed in my life? But then there's a second reason as well. Psalm 66, verse 18 tells us that if we have unconfessed sin in our heart, another translation says if we cherish sin in our heart, in other words, if we hold on to sin and we don't confess it and we don't try to get rid of it, then God won't be able to hear our prayers. That's a powerful thought for us, because see, here's the thing. Guys, when we don't honor our wives, when we don't treat them with respect, when we have unconfessed sin in our life, okay, it's in a very real sense like our umbrella of protection has holes in it, all right? It's sprung a leak, okay? And so we're trying to protect our family from the enemy's attacks, but we're springing a leak, and we're not able to protect them in the way that God has called us to or that we would want to. And I've noticed and experienced that a lot of times, guys, when we have these unconfessed sins in our life, that's where the enemy attacks the most, and it leaks the most, and our protection has holes in it. So that's why so many times sin is passed down from generation to generation, and the sins of the father, you know, affect the sins of the son and so forth. Why? Because there are holes in our umbrella of protection. So guys, if there's unconfessed sin, we've got to get rid of that, right? We've got to just fess up. We've got to get right before God so that we can offer protection for our wives and our kids, and so that our sons don't do the same mistakes that we've done, so our daughters don't fall prey to the same mistakes that we have. It's that important and it's that crucial. Maybe that's why that truth and that understanding, because see, our wives are smarter than us. Maybe that's why when asked, when women were asked, how could your husband best pray for you? Do you know what the number one answer they gave was? When Christian women were asked that, the 85% of Christian women, when asked, how could your husband best pray for you? They said, he can best pray for me by praying that he would become the husband and the father and the head of the house that God has designed him to be. Because see, they know that if we get this right, if we get it right between us and God, then we're going to get it right between us and them. And we're going to be the husband and we're going to be the father that God has called us to be. So this morning, that's what I want to encourage all of us to do. We've talked a lot about providing this umbrella of protection for our wives and our kids. We've also acknowledged that we haven't always done it right. We haven't always been consistent. For some of us, maybe it's just because we haven't prayed, our umbrella's been closed, right? And we're going to make today a new day, and we're going to say, yes, I'm going to pray. For others, our umbrella, even though we've been praying, it's had holes in it because of the way we've treated our wife or the way that we have unconfessed in our life. And we're committing today that we're going to get rid of that as well. Men, this morning, all right, I want to just encourage all of us to man up. All right, to stand our post, to be the warrior, to be the spiritual warrior that our families so desperately need us to be. And as I thought about that, it's like, how can I, you know, what reminder can I give? What kind of an object lesson can I show? And, you know, I thought maybe a sword and a shield, that's kind of cool, you know, and manly. But I just love this picture of the umbrella, you know, of how we are an umbrella of protection. And so I thought about getting everybody one of these, all you guys, but the budget wouldn't. Now, you know, allow that. That would be a little expensive. And so what I did, I spared no expense, and I got these. All right, don't laugh. All right, okay, you can laugh a little. But these are small, all right? But I've got one of these for everyone. They're in a bucket here. Just as we close our time together, Troy and the band's going to come back up, and they're going to kind of lead us in a song of commitment, guys. And here's my prayer. That while they're singing, don't try to sing along. Just make this time of commitment. And as they sing, I want us to be reminded of our role as protectors, of divine warriors on behalf of our wife and our kids. And as you come, as they sing, I would encourage each man here, whether you're married or not, you might be later, okay? Every man here, that you would come and you would take one of these umbrellas. And there's a little thing you have to snip in order for it to go up. But I want you to take one of these and to put it somewhere where you'll see it. To put it on your desk at work, to put it on your dash in your car. Put it somewhere where it will remind you of the God-ordained authority that you have in the life of your wife and your children. That we are their protector, their spiritual warrior. And even if we haven't got it in the past, got it right in the past, that today we can say, I am making a commitment to be the husband and the father that I want to be, that I long to be, that my wife wants me to be, that my kids need me to be. And to acknowledge that, yes, that's my commitment, but I can't do it alone. And so we ask God to lead us as we lead them. Would you make that commitment as the band sings?